Welcome, everyone. So good to be here with you today at CNBC. Welcome to those who are in the building and those with us online today as well. We're glad that you're here to worship the Lord with us. So true, those words that we just sang, and the scripture memory verse that we have for this month together as our congregation is very well suited to those words. We believe that God is with us in the valley. We believe that he's sovereign over us, and yet still, sometimes we lack wisdom for how to live faithfully as we're struggling and suffering through those valleys in life. So let's remind ourselves today as we participate in the memory verse together. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. James 1, 5. Good. Last week, we began a new series, which we will be in through the fall, through the book of James. James is a practical book. It is a book that is teaching us and helping us realize that we have been given a faith that works. It works in life. And last week, we looked how that faith remains joyful even through trials. This week, we're going to look at how that faith endures even through trials that we face. Just to rehearse, James is writing to early believers. He's writing to offer insight into wise and faithful living. He's writing to encourage long, patient endurance in this world. And he's writing to challenge us to live justly, righteously, and peaceably as followers of Jesus today. Last week, we were in verses 1 to 11, and we were unpacking the following question. It's the same question we're going to continue to explore this week. It's a big question, because we face trials and tests in this world. Many of you shared with me over the past week some of the difficult things that you have been going through. Some in our congregation are walking through difficult seasons of loss and grief and mourning, even today as we gather together. And so this is a question that is relevant for us here today, relevant for believers in every age. How should followers of Jesus stand under the trials and tests of life? And last week, if you want a Cliff's Notes, I like Cliff's Notes. Anybody else like the Cliff's Notes? You don't have to read the whole book when you get the Cliff's Notes. You can just get the general ideas. Well, the Cliff's Notes from last week's message is right here. Faithful disciples, while under trial, will exude joy when we stand patiently, prayerfully, and humbly. And that is good, and it works. But what about when those seasons, when those trials, and when those tests are really, really long and hard? Yes, these things still work. But how can we endure? We need wisdom for how to endure when the trials that we face grow long and we feel like there is no light at the end of the tunnel. We just keep going. A few Fridays ago, in the heat of summer, I set off on a 16-mile run. Yes. And it was very humid. And I remember getting into mile 3 or 4 and thinking, there is no end in sight. It really, really felt that way. And the next 12 to 13 miles, they were a struggle. In every sense of the imagination. And yes, along the way, there was the temptation to stop, to get a donut somewhere. Really, for some reason, the one food that enters my mind as I run is donuts. I don't understand why, but I think about donuts, especially glazed donuts, when I run. And I don't even like donuts or care for them that much, but for some reason, that's the only food I can think about when I'm running. I don't even understand. I don't even run for donuts. I run for pancakes. But it's in there. And here we are, in this world, and we're all facing trials and tests together. And when the pain and discomfort in our grief threatens to dissolve our focus and erode our trust in God's goodness, what can aid us in finding the strength to keep on going and to keep on going faithfully as we are enduring under life's most difficult tests? And so, yes, again, our question today will be, and James's question that we're going to unravel today is, how should followers of Jesus stand under the trials and tests that we face in this life? If you have your Bibles, now is a great time to take them and turn to the book of James. We are continuing in James chapter 1 today. We're unpacking verses 12 to 18. James chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. And before we read, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time that we gather around it together as a congregation, this corporate time of study where your Spirit works in unexplainable ways to apply to each of us exactly what we need for the moments that we are facing in our lives right now. Lord, some of us here today are sitting in some deep down places. It's a long season. It's a hard season. And sometimes, Lord, within it, our focus and our strength wanes. We need your help to pull us through. We need an anchor to be reminded of. We have one, and we're thankful for him. But Lord, we acknowledge that sometimes this life is hard and the answers that we desperately seek and want aren't readily before us. And we struggle. But Lord, your word offers timeless wisdom. Timeless wisdom that can reset our hope, can reset our focus, can reaffirm our trust, and can remind us where our true hope is found, in the promise of Jesus. And so, Father, as we gather around this text this morning, I pray that your Spirit would be working now to apply to each of us what we need. Lift us up, encourage us, give us the strength to continue through difficult and trying times. Help us not fall into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. James chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. Blessed is the one who remains steadfast under trial. For when they have stood the test, they will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when they are tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when they are lured and enticed by their own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. In this portion of James's letter, he's moving his readers from hope to caution, and then back to hope as he's encouraging followers of Jesus towards faithful endurance as we stand under trial. He begins with a familiar word in verse 12. It's this word, blessed. And again, as we mentioned last week, James is often relying on the teachings of Jesus, being Jesus's half-brother. This word, blessed, it sparks our imagination back into Jesus' life and the Sermon on the Mount. It is a sermon that Jesus started by unpacking the blessings that were promised to those who would be a part of his kingdom. Here, James delivers to us another promised blessing, one for those who will prove the genuine nature of their faith as they endure duress. Friends, this Christian life that we live, that we share together as we cling to Christ, it's not just well wishes. It's not pithy statements that just help to get us through. It's not made up just of coffee mug slogans or t-shirt emblems. It's so much more. It's not cliches or niceties to help us through hard times. The truth is that the faith that we have been given dynamically and effectively works in this life. We have a living, active, and working faith. It is real. It is the stuff that helps us endure. We've been given something, a treasure even, of great worth, something to cling to, something that is good, eternal, and true. We have a promise that God is with us. We sung of that today, even in the valleys. We learn it when we're young as we go into Psalm 23. He walks with us in the valleys of the shadows of death. We are not alone. In our weakest and most distressing moment, God is keeping his promises, and in doing so, he's magnifying his name and proving himself faithful. I love how the writer of Hebrews puts this so succinctly in chapter 10. He says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful." And these trials and these tests come, and sometimes we begin to feel a little shaky. We can waver a bit. And yet, we have a great hope. A good and eternal future has been set before us. And as we endure trials on this earth, we demonstrate to a not yet believing world that we have taken hold of the faith that has been delivered to us. In James's blessing and reward, he helps us to set our eyes, to set our focus on the things above. The promise of the future reward, there's a crown, something that's imperishable, incorruptible, and unfading. Friends, many of you have shared with me that you long for a way to effectively share the gospel with those who we know and love who do not yet know Jesus. And we talk about this. Many of you have asked me to pray, and even prayer meeting as we gather on Wednesday night, many of us have gathered and prayed together for people in our families that do not yet know Jesus. We long for effective ways to share and to show the gospel to them. Faithful, steadfast, patient, prayerful, and humble endurance under trial is one of the most effective, powerful, and hopeful apologetics for the Christian faith that there is. For a not yet believing world to see the presence and power of God effectively at work in our lives, we first have to let them see and know that in those trials, under those tests, we are not able to stand on our own. We're too weak by our own strength. We need help. Friends, I need help. And we talk about that regularly. Here, even from the pulpit Sunday morning, we can't do this life apart from God. It doesn't work. How bright and hopeful it is for those who may not yet know Jesus to watch Disciples, followers of Jesus, under life's trials and tests, endure with joy and patience and humility and a steadfastness that is simply uncommon in this world. People say, and you've heard the question before, how do they do it? There's our inroad, friends, to the gospel. There's one way. There is one way. It's Jesus. It's the same Jesus who was with the disciples in the boat, in the water, and the storm came up, and he calmed it. It's that same Jesus with us in the storms of our life when our friends and neighbors who are not yet believing look and they ask, how are you doing it? Jesus has me. He's calming these storms. I read this quote this week, and I had to write it down because it related so well. I don't even remember where I read it. It's not original with me, but it said, we need to be anchored in Christ so the chaos around us does not become the chaos within us. How good is that? To stand under trials in this manner is a testament to God's strength. It's a witness to our hope in Jesus and a proclamation of the Holy Spirit's presence and ongoing effective activity in our lives. And though this is true for believers that are standing faithfully under tests, we still live in a world where our enemy has legitimate power. Friends, Satan is real. He has effect. There is sin in the world. Sin and death still have consequence and effect in this world. And while James wants his readers to remain hopeful, he also desires for us to be aware that faithful endurance, while under duress, will not come apart from temptation's potential treachery. Look at verse 13. Let no one say when they are tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. Now, James is writing here specifically about the temptations that come upon us under trials. And we know from Peter's teaching that our enemy is like a lion on the prowl, seeking whom he may devour. And so it's probably safe for us to consider that Satan, as an effective predator, knows that the members of the flock that are the most vulnerable are the ones who are what? Tired. Weary. The ones who have struggled and suffered under seasons of difficulty, seasons of trauma, duress, stress. We mustn't give in to the temptations that come under trials. Let's identify a few, and there are several. Five for time's sake today. Perhaps you would note maybe a few more than what we'll cover today. The first is disbelief. Can God still be trusted? That's right, Helen. Yes, he can. But sometimes under trial, sometimes under test, we begin to doubt. And even start to disbelieve. We've watched this. Many of us have watched this in our life. Brothers and sisters in Christ fall away under trial. Can God be trusted? Yes. How about apathy? Does God even care? I've heard that before. Angrily stated. The temptation. Does it even matter? Does God even care? Bitterness. Did God do this to me? Is God hurting me? Again, resentment towards God, hostility, all of these temptations under trial, impatience. Will God care for me? Will he continue to care for me? Sometimes, friends, one of the greatest temptations under trial is to take matters into our own hands. To just try to grab hold of it and get through it on our own strength. Some people call this white knuckling it. It's what I do when I'm driving in the car and my daughter's driving. Sorry, she's getting so much better. Just get through it! I can't take it anymore. Does God remember? The psalmist, a lot of these questions, we go into the Psalms and we see they're not foreign to us. The psalmist wrestled with them. Some of the prophets of the Old Testament would say, "How long, O Lord? How long?" This is real stuff. Through the ages. How about instability? Is God's help enough? Is it going to be sufficient to really care for me in this space? And as part of our impatience, we try a little bit over here thinking maybe this will help absolve the pain. And when that doesn't work, then we go over here and we try a little over here. Maybe this will help. And we're so unstable going back and forth, tossed to and fro. It's not steadfast. And as we think about these temptations that come under trial, we can certainly feel the storms, the rising waters, the crashing waves, the howling winds. This is often what life can feel like in trial. Some people have described it like a fogginess. It's hard to see. To remain steadfast and faithful when facing temptation under trial, it is good for us to rehearse truth regarding the character of God. Yes, God may allow or permit us to experience temptation while under trial, but he is not the author or the originator of our temptations. And while God is able to turn things meant for evil for good, God himself, as our good Father, does not deal in sin, lies, or evil to test or tempt his children. But someone asks, do James's words here contradict the way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray? Jesus taught us how to pray in his Gospels, and a part of his prayer is what? Lead us not into temptation. If God is not tempted with evil and he himself tempts no one, why would we pray that he would lead us not into temptation? That's a fair question. The famous reformer Martin Luther, speaking to this very question, he was asked this very question. He said this, quote, "It is true that God tempts no one, but we ask in this prayer that God would preserve and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our flesh may not deceive us or mislead us," end quote. We see in Jesus' life that Jesus himself was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by who? Satan. It's very important to acknowledge that. The full context of the Lord's Prayer, that line, is actually lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil or the evil one. There's a debate over which is the better translation. What we are praying
is that as we walk through this world where temptation is inevitable, that God would help us to faithfully endure and stand up under trial. The Lord is our shepherd, Psalm 23. His will and desire is to lead us into green pastures along still waters. And from an eternal perspective, yes, this is our sure and future hope. However, today, living in a world ransacked and overwhelmed with sin and death, those green pastures and still waters may often seem as a distant destination, especially when we're struggling and suffering. In praying this portion of the Lord's Prayer, we are acknowledging and affirming God's continual presence with us, leading us, while asking for his assistance in fleeing temptation and resisting Satan. It's not uncommon in the scriptures to find God moving his people into spaces where trials and temptations are present. That's not uncommon. God frees the Hebrew captives in Egypt only to lead them into a wilderness that would be full of trials, tests, temptations. This is not God tempting his people, but God is with his people, leading them into spaces where, because of the consequence of sin in this world and its effect on all of us, on all of humanity, temptation will be inevitable. Would God's people be faithful? Would they trust in his goodness? Would they trust in his faithfulness? Sometimes yes, sometimes not so much, right? In the case of the Israelites, their failures will follow in perfect parallel with how James describes temptation's treacherous pathway. Take a look at verses 14 to 16 again. There's a pathway here. It's important for us to note. But each one is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. Then when desire conceives, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, it gives birth to death. Do not be led astray, my dear brothers and sisters. Maybe we would consider the golden calf incident in the Israelite narrative. The people are lured and enticed by their need to have an idol representing a god that they desperately wanted to see, belong to, and worship. They wanted a god that they could create, that they could manipulate with their own hands, that they could control. They longed for a god that might bless them and take them out from under the trials they were experiencing while wandering in the wilderness. Their desire gave birth to sin. They had Aaron make them a golden calf. Remember that? It is like the magic oven moment. Bring me all of your things. We'll put them together, throw them in, and bloop, out pops a golden calf. Right? We've talked about that before. The sin was idolatry. That was the sin. Desire leads to sin. Now watch this. And in this sin, it became full grown, and the people entertained their handmade god, their idol, singing, dancing, sacrificing, worshiping it, and their sin gave birth to death. As a result, the Bible tells us that at least 3,000 people died as a result of this idolatry. Desire leading to sin, leading to death. And maybe we've seen this in our own lives as we've suffered under trial and have been tempted. The pain's just so hard, we just can't endure anymore, and it looks like this way out over here would just be so much more welcomed and invited than continuing to stand under the pain. And so we go where we shouldn't. And in the process of going where we shouldn't, we destroy ourselves or we destroy those who we love. And James knows it's going to be hard. James knows there is going to be seasons in this life that are difficult. There are going to be trials that are hot. And the temptation in those spaces is going to be to run, to get out. There's not usually a quick off-ramp. Jesus shows us the better way. This is what we love about Jesus. He always shows us a better way. He shows us a better way to faithfully endure temptation as we stand under trial. We watch as he demonstrates this perfectly and powerfully in his own wilderness experience. He's relying on what? What does Jesus rely on in the desert, tempted by Satan? What does he rely on? The Word of God. Steadfast, rock solid, trustworthy to the end. The Word of God. Where do we turn when facing temptation under trial? Jesus shows us. Where do we turn? The Word of God. One of the greatest and most effective weapons we have against temptation is God's Word. James's letter suggests that trials may have a way of wearing us out. You know, children have a way of doing that too. I've said that to my kids. You've done worn me out. How many times can they ask for the same thing? And you can say no so many times, but eventually, just have the popsicle. It's not worth my anxiety. You wore me out. This is trials. Sometimes trials have a way of wearing us out, making us weak and weary, more susceptible to temptations. Even so, the promise that Paul delivers to early churches spread throughout the city of Corinth remains relevant as we are standing. No temptation. Many of us have this verse memorized. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure. And I'm suggesting today, church, that one of the greatest ways of escape that we have under temptation is God's Word. It's the Word of God. We hide it in our hearts so that we might not sin against him. We rehearse with one another so that we can encourage and lift one another up when we gather together. If we don't know what to say and we're with somebody under trial, going through a difficult time, sometimes the best thing that we can say is to share Scripture. We do this. Take the Psalms. Take a hopeful verse that's carried you through a difficult time and share it with another sister or brother going through a hard time in life. God works through those things. It's powerful and effective. This image of being led astray or deceived while under trial brings to mind a predator distracting, drawing, or dragging his prey into the darkness away from the safety and protection of the flock. If our focus is on all of the bad things, if we are consumed with everything that we've lost, everything that is hard and difficult and unsettling or scary, we may lose sight of the good, generous, hopeful, and life-giving realities that are always with us. Realities that James brings back into clear focus in verses 17 to 18. As we says, we go from hope to caution back to hope. Look at verse 17. All generous giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or the slightest hint of change. When we are enduring under trial, one way to not fall into temptation is to rehearse, reflect on, and remember the goodness of God. Even as life unravels and we find ourselves having to endure and walk through valleys of difficulty, we can still take time each day to cultivate the habit of gratitude for the generous, good, and gracious gifts that we have been given. Friends, the greatest of which is Jesus and the gift of eternal life. We have had time. We can be thankful for the time that we have been given with family and friends in this space where we've had the opportunity to love and to be loved and to know and to be known and provided for, all gifts from God. Many of us sitting here today or watching online, many of us have the material provisions that we need to get through each day without lack. Some of us have enjoyed long seasons of physical health and well-being. Many of us have memories of times cherished, years spent together, trips we've enjoyed, seasons of trial that we have walked through. Many of us have seen the Lord provide in miraculous, supernatural, or even very unexpected ways. All of us, every single one of us in Christ, has the gift of eternal life and can cling to the promise of a good and eternal future. All of us, every one of us in Christ, have gifts and abilities that are given to us by God and cultivated by His Spirit that we are able to use to bless and build up and encourage one another. These are good and precious gifts that we can remember and cling to in trial. And how about this? In a world that's filled up with variations and constant change, I was just thinking this morning how we could never keep up with all the change in this world, right? Some of us have stopped trying. Some of us have stopped trying years and years ago. You move on to one thing, and 2 weeks later, it's something new. And then you move on to that, and 2 weeks later, it's something different. And then the newest technology and science says you should eat this, and 2 years later, technology and science comes out and says, no, don't eat that! That's bad! Can't keep up. And in a world of all this variation and constant change, isn't it so encouraging and invigorating to know that God does not change? He's always good. He's always faithful. He's always right. He's always true. He's always good to His children. He always deals generously with us. He is kind, He is gentle, He is deliberate for our good and His glory. And while it is sin that gives birth to death, God deals in truth. And in the text, what does truth give birth to? Life. Verse 18, by His sovereign plan, He gave us birth through the message of truth, that we would be a kind of first fruits of all He created. Our Father's intentions are for His children's good. The first fruits here refer to followers of Jesus whose faith has lifted them while under trial so that they have endured steadfastly. These are disciples of Jesus who've remained faithful even as they've faced tremendous adversity and difficulty in this life, who are bringing God glory as the world looks at our weak and lowly place and recognizes the presence and power of God at work. One of the greatest ways that disciples of Jesus can glorify God and magnify His name is to remain faithful even when things are hard. Friends, if you're facing difficulty today, the challenge is to demonstrate the authenticity of our faith by enduring steadfastly. One moment at a time, one day at a time, one week, month, year at a time, as long as it takes, keep going, eyes fixed and focused on the God who gives generous and gracious gifts. The world will see the true strength and effect of our God when we're open, willing, and vulnerable enough to live from and share about our weakness. Paul says this, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then what? Then I am strong." It's him. It's him. Friends, followers of Jesus seeking to endure steadfastly while under trial will focus on the promised blessing and future reward. They will remain alert to and aware of the presence and power of temptations while under trial. Let's not fall asleep, or let's not grow weary in recognizing that temptations come in these spaces. They will also hold fast to the generous, good, and gracious gifts that come from God above, and they will draw confidence from God's unchanging nature, finding hope and motivation to continue through his life-giving truth. And we're going to close with prayer this morning, and our team's going to come and lead us in a final song. And I'm going to open up the front of the auditorium again, this front corner today, after we dismiss for a special time of prayer. And here's how I want to do this today. If you're a sister or brother in Christ who are facing a difficult time in your life right now, if you're enduring through some difficulty in your life, or maybe you know a sister or brother in Christ who is, that could just use some prayer for endurance, some encouragement to endure through the trial that they're experiencing, I'm going to invite you, after we dismiss today, in just a bit, to stay and to come right up here in the corners. I'm going to invite our elders that are available also to come down just to pray. You don't have to share anything specific. We're not going to ask you questions about what you're going through, what you're experiencing. This is just a time to pray for you. If you want to share, you're welcome to share, but you don't have to. We're just going to gather up, and we're just going to pray after we dismiss today, right down here in the front corner. And the whole purpose for that prayer is going to be to just encourage and to motivate endurance to keep on going. Keep on going faithfully for the Lord as you walk through that difficulty that you're facing. So we're going to do that after we sing this hymn. Let's pray, and then we'll sing. Father, thank you again for your word, for its power, for its truth, for its effectiveness. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit indwelling us, filling us, motivating us, keeping us going through the difficult challenges that we face in this world. We recognize, Father, that not every day is filled with just happy and wonderful moments, but there are difficult things too, and we want to be sober-minded and humble and be able to walk through those times knowing that you are with us, being aware of any temptations that may come as we're in those places, and keeping our eyes fixed on our anchor, who is Christ. Help us to do that today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.